The 6th Annual Wisconsin Book Festival celebrates our rich heritage of literacy. I was going to say literacy. Well, I'm sure literacy. We're pretty literate. We're a pretty literate state, but we have a literary tradition that I think is very rich. And we're going to be having some of the finest writers in America in our state. In fact, we have a lot of them right now, as a matter of fact. One's with me right here in the studio, as a matter of fact. Jim Boffman, professor and director of the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's the author of Same Time, Same Station, Creating American TV, 1948-61. It's published by Johns Hopkins Press, University Press. And with me as well is Allison Jones Hyam, who is director of the 2007 Wisconsin Book Festival. It's running through Sunday, October 14th, and it's taking place in a lot of different places around the state, actually. We'll be glad to talk with her about the book festival. And you're not going to believe when you when we start talking about all of the great things that are going to be going on, in fact, that are going on right now. In Milwaukee, I think, was part of it. And Allison, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on. Nice to see you again.
Jim, of course, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Larry. Good to be here.
Well, I tell you what, let's talk about the theme first.
Sure. We've never had a theme before.
Yeah. Why this theme all of a sudden?
Well, the theme this year is domestic tranquility. And we're pretty loosey-goosey about how you can fit your event, you if you're an author, into that theme. When we were taking submissions, we didn't have that as a strict filtering criteria. Because almost anything is, if it's about somebody's domicile, could be called about domestic tranquility or the lack thereof. So we fit things in, you know, in serious terms, like we look at some constitutional issues with the right to keep and bear arms, for example. But we also kind of are tongue in cheek about it, and you know, the tranquility of open space is something that we're also exploring our relationship with the land. So it's a big, sprawling, inclusive thing.
Well, I should have asked you to begin with about sort of the background of this whole thing, because it started in Madison, if I'm not mistaken, and now it's. It's spread its wings.
Yeah, it's the book festival is definitely a phenomenon that people are excited about in various places throughout the state. And since we started this one in 2002, there's one in Chippewa Valley that predates us. I think that they had started a couple of years before. There's now, as you mentioned, the second year of one in Milwaukee, and they're doing their events October 2nd through 12th. So you're right, there's like one a night. And sometimes several a night. And there's the Edgerton Festival that also started last year. And the Wisconsin Humanities Council is the entity that produces the Wisconsin Book Festival in Madison. And that's where I work. And the Council is also a grant-giving organization and has given major grants to fund many of those festivals that I just mentioned. So that's sort of the way in which the expansion, if you want to call it that, is facilitated, because the festivals really have to be homegrown. You know, I mean, I couldn't orchestrate what should happen in Edgerton from where I sit. It had to be the people there who know their main street and their demographics and their interests. So it's been, you know, it's been a real treat to be able to encourage and support that kind of thing happening.
Well, it certainly, and I think Edgerton has sort of a Sterling North theme to it or something like that. Tell us, in just in general terms, we'll get Jim involved here in a minute too, but in sort of general terms, what do people, what will they find when they come to Madison, for example, to...
Well, a little bit of everything, and I know that sounds kind of trite, but I mean, a book can be about anything. So we we're not an academic symposium. We don't have a, you know, a tight, narrow focus or purpose other than, you know, the great purpose of getting people together to celebrate reading and to encourage people to talk about what they're reading. So, literally what you'll find when you come to Madison this year, as opposed to years past, is that we have, we will have, the festival starts a week from yesterday, the 7th, we will have sort of a command central, a hub in the Overture Center, in the Rotunda Lobby. There'll be information tables that are staffed with festival volunteers through all the times that we are offering events, whether they're in the Overture Center or elsewhere, so that people who come on into town and don't know where to go can go there first and get some orientation and direction. And we've provided, you know, sort of like the roadmap of where everything is from year to year, but there's never been, you know, any place to go when you have a question. We finally are able to do that. And there's basically 104 events, if you count all the different book sales and every single iteration of the various events, 104 events taking place in about 30 venues over 5 days. So there's something for you.
That's amazing. And Jim, you're going to be participating this year, and yes. Tell us what you're going to be doing.
Well, I have a book out on 1950s TV that some of your listeners may know about, and I'll be talking Saturday the 13th at 4 at the Overture Center. Those are people who are, truly bored and want to come. I was one of the authors invited, and I'm delighted to participate. I will say I've twice been involved in the festival. I once moderated a session at the Orpheum that was dedicated to John Stewart's textbook history of the United States. It was one of the funnier moments of my academic career, particularly when a local Madison radio host came up to me afterwards and said he hated me because he had wanted that gig. A year ago, I think, I got to introduce my wonderful colleague, Deborah Blum, whose book Ghost Hunters had come out. And what I noticed on both occasions is how wonderfully egalitarian the audience is. I had thought when I first started participating, it would be one of those sort of academic audiences, a lot of plaid skirts on the men and women. But what you discover is there's this wonderful cross-section of the city and the community, the county, that show up for these events that because they've elected to show up, are very interested in the material, very engaged by it. Deborah, for instance, had a packed house, which I wouldn't have assumed. Yeah. And they were people I didn't recognize, and I've been here forever, so like you, Larry. And I was deeply impressed by the wonderful job you all do, and Allison, in terms of drawing in the community, because I think it's a democratic ideal. It's an Emersonian ideal, if I may, that you achieve.
Yeah, Madison has a real magic to it in terms of readers. The people who count such things always rank us among the top 4 or 5 cities in terms of readers per capita of cities of this size when those statistics come out. And that's, it's a real gift to me to be able to try to pull together a program in a place like this where there's such widespread interest. It's, if you hear that statistic, lots of readers per capita, you think, okay, well, that's obvious. It's a university town. But you know what? There's hundreds of university towns across this country.
Yeah.
This one has, as Jim is saying, a really broad-based going beyond the ivory tower of people who love to read.
You know, I want to break in here because I didn't give the phone number for people to call in and ask questions. And certainly if you would like to join in with some questions about the festival, about authors, about writing, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. If you're in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and with your comments. We'd love to hear from you. What, besides the eminent James Boffman, we have many other authors.
He's a star, though. He's really
I'd say if you want to, here's a little aside for everybody listening. If you want to be really entertained, I highly recommend attending Jim's presentation on Saturday the 13th at 4 o'clock because you're going to be highly entertained.
Never fails to entertain. I live across the street from him, and I can attest to this. The man is entertaining at 7 in the morning when he's taking out his garbage.
He is that. Very entertaining. So you're going to enjoy that. But there are other authors as well and other types. Give us a sort of a
Well, I'll tell you some of the big stars that we're having, because that's always exciting to talk about. We have Michael Cunningham, the esteemed author of The Hours, that was made into that wonderful Hollywood movie, as well as he's got other titles as well, but I think that's what he's best known and loved for. And, you know, all of his work is about domestic tranquility, even though I'm sure he might disagree with that statement. But he talks about how people live and how people live together and the conflicts that they're dealing with over time. And I just think he's actually going to be our showstopper. That's not the right word. He's last.
Featured.
He's closing us out. Okay, he's the cleanup batter.
He's the closer. Okay.
We have on the very first day of the festival a really wonderful pairing of Terry Tempest Williams and Rick Bass, both of whom are renowned nature writers. They've written a lot of nonfiction, and Rick Bass is also an award-winning fiction writer. Some of his short stories, well, one of them was made into a movie, Where the Sea Used to Be. He used to be a petroleum geologist. So that's where that title comes from, Where the Sea Used to Be, and then there's a layer of oil where it used to be. They're going to be talking about, I would say, the tranquility of open space and how we relate to the land that we live on. And it's a nice opportunity for the Wisconsin Humanities Council, this theme, I mean, to be able to look at our relationship with the land and some environmental issues from a humanities perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying to envision how James Campbell, in his book, Ghost Mountain Boys, fits into domestic tranquility as an example.
Well, sometimes one has to be malleable with one's definitions of things. We are really excited about the James Campbell event. And one of the reasons is that he's, you know, a Wisconsinite, and he's done, you know, this work it's a military history, but it's also an incredibly readable book. It's called The Ghost Mountain Boys, as Larry said, and it's a story of a battalion, is that the right word, of soldiers in World War II, mostly made up of men from Wisconsin and from Michigan, who have to go through hell and high water, or high mountains, really, to in New Guinea to protect a flank of the Australian Army, perhaps. It's sort of a little known moment, but basically the physical challenge of the mountains that they had to cross is incredible in the way that he chronicles that. And, you know, so in terms of domestic tranquility, why would that fit? Well, I guess I would say that we're looking in a loosey-goosey, expansive way about the domestic in terms of nations. And defending their borders and defending their issues. So that's why we are able to talk about war under that sprawling theme.
All right.
And mostly it's because we want to.
That's good.
He wrote the book this year, so we want him in.
Allison Jones, I am director of the 2007 Wisconsin Book Festival, running through Sunday, October 14th. And with us as well, Professor James Boffman, Jim, director of the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. He is the author of Same Time, Same Station, Creating American TV, 1948 to 1961, published by Johns Hopkins University Press. If you were listening a few months back, we interviewed Jim when his book first came out. Lovely book. And we're talking about Wisconsin's rich literary heritage and the Wisconsin Book Festival. Again, if you want to join in, the number to call 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Allison Jones Hyam and Jim Boffman, our guests today. Join in if you have a question about the 2007 Wisconsin Book Festival. We'd love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call. You have some events that kind of, There's a sort of a category that you call media. Is that correct? Or?
There are a good number of events this year that deal with communication, how people talk to each other. And Jim's is one of those with his look at the early days of television. And I sort of promote that. We've done a lot this year in terms of trying to promote, if you like this, you might also the way that suggestive selling, I guess one would call it. And so there's also an event featuring Bob McChesney and John Nichols, and that one's about sort of communication revolution, the role of the media in helping to enhance domestic tranquility. The question is, the question, one of the questions that they're asking is, what is the media's role, and is it doing that? There's also Matt Rothschild and Chris Finan are together doing an event, and that one's more about free speech, and free speech isn't free. And Chris Finan writes about the history of free speech, and Matt's new book, Matt's the editor of The Progressive right here in Madison, and his new book is You Have No Rights, and it's about the erosion of civil rights since 9/11 in this country. I'm not doing a good job at all of mentioning places and times for these events. That's because I have too much in my head, but it's all on the website, which is wisconsinbookfestival.org.
Well, if I may, neighbor, John Nichols and Bob McChesney will be speaking Thursday the 11th at 9.
You're very good. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. So then,
and when are you speaking again?
Saturday at 5, I believe it is.
No,
the
4.
Don't come at 5. You'll miss him.
No.
And you're speaking where, Jim, by the way?
Overture in the whatever it is.
The Overture Center.
Overture Center, yeah.
Well, now, let's take you as an example then. Jim, when you're making your presentation, this is probably, what, an hour, is it, or is it a...
It is sort of long. I don't know what I'm going to do. Probably
a you've got a window. You don't have to use the entire window. You can use it to your best advantage.
Right, right. And the 4 people who were there, each of them can ask me a question. And I haven't quite decided what I'll do with it. I loved juggling is another possibility. I imitations of the 50s comics like Art Carney. I like to open it up for questions. In some cases, draw out from people their memories of what they recall, older members of the audience, I should say, about television.
Can you tell a little bit about what I'll just call the highbrow, lowbrow thing in terms of what your book is talking about, the subject matter?
Yeah. Well, there was quite a debate in the 50s over sort of the cultural mission or cultural responsibilities of the mass media. It's a debate that in a sense, was resolved by the time you came of age, Allison, being much younger than Larry and me. But there was a sense that there was high culture and low culture. One of the sort of compromises in the 50s was what was called middle brow, which was what Life magazine tried to impart. After a bathing suit layout, they would have a series of paintings by Matisse, and that's been mocked, and it's mentioned in my book. But I think what people forget is there's no effort now on the part of the mass media to do that at all. So as your sons will discover, Allison, as they get older, depending on on how you and Michael fare as parents. That has, I think, encouraged a much greater cultural illiteracy. But at the time, it was mocked, the effort of the mass media to do that. But, of course, the alternative – no, it never occurred to anyone that the alternative would be worse.
and that's kind of, the what I really enjoyed about your book was sort of the inside nature. And maybe you did so much background work on – the people who were running NBC and ABC and CBS. It was a lot of work.
Yeah. And they wrestled with it much more than they do now, much more self-consciously about the cultural responsibilities. But, when you and I were growing up in the black and white era of television and everything else, and this is, by the way, the 50th anniversary of the Sputnik launch, which we both remember.
Yes.
Allison's parents weren't dating yet, I have a feeling. But... But, you know, in those days, there weren't things like book festivals.
Why you not?
I don't know why not. But there weren't. There weren't those kind of cultural opportunities now.
I think about that. I mean, so, like we schedule ourselves a lot as a society, you know, and we kind of parcel out our time. And I wonder if that's part of the success and you know, why we have a book festival weekend mm-hmm. and a blues festival and et cetera. You know, it's less random than it used to be.
Yes, yes, yes. But it is, again, it's a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, it's not that I mind, because I like being able to.
But you do seem a little fried today, I must say. You've been working very hard on this.
Didn't you see my light on at 2:30 in the morning?
Yeah, I didn't notice. I was
sleeping.
Well, you're going to get Jim's sort of given us a little window into an idea of what he's going to talk about. Are there workshops per se that are going to be held, and so people who are interested in writing?
Yes, there are. I don't know if workshop is the right word, but there are a really good number of events on writing for writers with various interests. One of which is kind of off the wall. They're having at Rainbow Bookstore on Saturday a celebration of zines, the kind of underground do-it-yourself publication. Mm-hmm. There has been a zine fest in Madison for the last few years, and there's a little hiatus with zine fest proper. So there's mini renegade, guerrilla style zine fest, as if they need to be any more guerrilla. And that's going to be there's some zinesters who've been making their publications and distributing them themselves. It's largely made on Xerox machines. It's like a tangible blog for the younger people out there who don't know what a zine is but know what a blog is. Folks have been making tracks to Madison at this time of year for 3 years now, so some of these folks were already coming, and it's going to be a good day. There's also several events that are sort of about entering into the literary market. We have a panel. We've had a panel every year of the festival featuring a literary agent, some editors, and or other folks involved in the publishing industry. And the location on that is changing this year. It's going to be at the Harambe Center, which is the South Madison Family Neighborhood Health Center, down at the end of Park Street, across the street from Burger King, my favorite restaurant. And we specifically wanted to bring that event out of the ivory tower because we wanted it to be very accessible to folks who have been doing writing and pursuing what they're interested in and want to know what some of the next steps are, and to actually talk to literary agents, et cetera, and ask their questions.
Yeah, Jim, comment.
What would you suggest? I haven't really received any marching orders from you, and you're a pretty bossy person, I know, in the neighborhood. What would you
you're gonna get an email later today.
What would you like us as authors to do? To tie our book to the theme? I don't have a sense. This will be the third time I've done this. Yeah. I don't have a clear sense what it seems like. Anything goes.
Anything goes. Yeah. What we really want you to do is present your book. What is exciting about? Why did you write it? What's exciting about it to you? And what, if you're going to read from it, what little chunk of it or few of them kind of give an audience? And a broad-based audience, not an academic audience who's already read your book, but what gives them
nobody,
an overview?
You understand. No one's read my book.
I've read it.
Okay, Larry's read it.
There's one.
Yeah, because that's my impression, is that we don't really get marching orders from you.
You're letting out all the secrets. They're going to know it's anarchy.
Yeah, it is anarchy, but it's creative. No, it's more Schumpeter's creative destruction. I think that's the better expression.
That sounds better, definitely.
Yeah,
so it's kind of a free for all anyway. In some respects, when you go in to hear one of the presenters, you're going to have a chance to listen, of course, but also pretty much everybody, I'm assuming, is going to be open for questions.
Absolutely. The Wisconsin Humanities Council has a tagline that has evolved over the last several years since we have a new, well, he's not new anymore, 4 years into his job, the executive director, Dean Bacopoulos. The tagline is community through conversation. And what my job has been to make the book festival achieve that as much as possible. So as I said, we want to get people not just exposed to, you know, we don't want people to just walk in and be receptors to what is, you know, is offered up to them. But we are actively trying to create conversation. We have a lot of moderated discussions. A lot of times this year we are bringing in moderators or introducers who are more related to the topic than perhaps in other years, and can sort of get that initial period of, you know, do you have any questions? If nobody has one right away, you know, hopefully the moderator can chime in and get a conversation flowing. And that the idea is that we want these conversations to go out the door with people and for, you know, them to continue the conversation on the bus and over the dinner table and, you know, to get to know each other in ways that, you know, we don't when we have those white things in our ears and we're reading our own book.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned Dean Bacopoulos, and aside from his role, he's a wonderful author.
He really is.
In his own right. And we have, in Wisconsin, we have just a
such great talent.
We have so much talent. Yeah. You wonder why.
Why not? I mean, I have thought about that. Why? And I don't have the experience to know. You know, I have not tried to run a book festival in Arkansas, so I don't know, you know, how rich that would be in comparison or, you know, any other state. Mm-hmm. But Wisconsin is a great place to live. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just telling my dad that. He wants my husband and me to move down to Nashville. And I said, No, we really are staying here.
Well, Nashville's a nice town, though.
So it might be a nice town, but Jim, yeah. Jim, why do you think? Is there any reason for the plethora of the huge number of authors that we have?
Well, I think Madison itself has much, and its proximity, Madison itself has much to recommend as a place to live, and. Whether if you're living in Madison, have children, it's a wonderful place to be. It's a lot cheaper to live in Madison than it is New York or L.A. I grew up as you know, Larry, in northeastern Ohio. Madison is a lot more. This part of the Midwest is a lot more going for it, and I'm very proud Buckeye, but there's a lot more going for it than most of my native state, and I'm going to be disinherited for saying that. But it's just very, and there's a realism too. You know, when you can drive not too many miles outside of Madison, and that'll catch up with you fast. You know that
it's the dairy state. You know, if the wind's in the right direction, you
go
know
into
that
a
on our
new
doorstep.
Bar in New Glarus or something, and they don't care who you are. You know, and you're just like anybody else.
Well, we've got great writers, I'm thinking, who are outside of Madison, obviously, as you well know. Michael Perry comes to mind. He'll be on the show talking with me about his book.
Truck
in, gosh, I can't remember exactly the 11th.
He's so talented.
The 11th. He's on the 11th, yeah.
You know, my wife just read that book.
She liked it.
It's a great book, and he's so funny. And, you know, here he is in North Central, I guess you could say, Wisconsin. And Jim Campbell's a Wisconsin fellow.
Yeah, we have Ben Percy, who is in Stevens Point. He's teaching at UW Stevens Point. His collection of short stories is called Refresh, Refresh, and the title story of that has received just all kinds of awards. He's raking them in with national recognition over his talent.
Well, we should take some calls again. If you want to join in, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Let's go to Mary in Barrington, Illinois. Hi, Mary. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for this wonderful program. I just wanted to say it's through your program and programming like this that I've become acquainted with so many fine writers from Wisconsin. just recently, Jerry Apps was on, I think, on your program.
Yep.
And his book, In a Pickle, led me to all of his books. It's so wonderful. They're being passed around in the family.
Oh, that's great.
And it represents the fiber that makes Wisconsin so special in our country. And I know I'm in Illinois, but I'm always going up to Wisconsin every chance I get. I want to thank you.
I wondered
if Jerry was going to be participating at any of the stores or places for the book.
Yeah, Jerry has an event this year, and my secretary Jim over here will look it up. He's presenting from In a Pickle along with the Moses Midwest Organic Sustainable. Oh, now I'm going to forget. But it's a book called Renewing the Countryside, and it's about sustainable agriculture. And so there's a lot of it's nonfiction, and there's a lot of synergy between that and Jerry's story about a family farm and the struggles that this farm goes through. So they've actually presented in companionship before, and it's gone really well. I think the event's on Saturday.
Okay.
We're trying to find that, but do you have access, by the way, to a computer, Mary?
I do.
It's
so
at I'll tell
I
you
guess
when it
I'll
is.
Go to WisconsinBookFestival.org.
Yes, thank you, Mary.
Yes.
All right.
Jerry's event is at 2 p.m. on Saturday, October 13th at the Madison Public Library, the main branch on Mifflin Street.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. And I hope to listen to many, many more fine programs just like this.
Well, thank you for calling.
Thanks very much for calling. And Mary, I'll tell you, Jim Campbell's also scheduled, another Wisconsin author. We were talking about him a little earlier. And he is scheduled, I can't see the date right now, to be on my show. I'll get that for you in just a second. And Logan Ward will also – he's on the 15th. Jim Campbell's on the 15th, and Logan Ward, who is also participating, if I'm not mistaken, will be on my show on the 18th of October. So, Mary, you want to be sure to – as you listen here, you want to be sure to tune in those days, too, for a chance to hear some great guys talking about their books. So Logan Ward's another interesting character, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Give the thumbnail.
His book is called A Year of... No, it's not. He's in an event that's called A Year of Living Differently.
Yeah.
And his book is called See You in 100 Years. And
it's a fascinating book.
It's about his wife and himself and their young child, I think 2-year-old, decided to check out and turn back time and to live as if it were 100 years ago. So no vehicles.
No electricity.
No electricity. I don't mean no vehicles, do I? No automobiles.
No automobiles. Yeah, they had a wagon and a horse.
And a horse.
Yeah.
And this is the chronicle of their year, the incredible year that they had.
They had to raise their own food and preserve it for, you know, they had to raise their food in the summer and preserve it through the for winter use, and they pretty much followed a whole year. and it's an amazing story.
And the person he's paired up with is A.J. Jacobs, and his book is called A Year of Living Biblically. And in what A.J. did was, for a calendar year, he did his best to live literally by all Jewish law, all biblical law. So never cutting his hair. For some reason, in the copy that I read, it said he had to eat crickets. I don't really know what that law is. He had to pay the babysitter at the end of every day in cash because you're not allowed to owe anybody any money. So just everything from the grand pronouncements to the most obscure little laws. It's a great chronicle.
That should be quite an interesting pairing.
Yeah.
When is that? When are they?
That one is at 6 p.m. on Sunday the 14th, and that's taking place at the Overture Center.
The pairings are... No, you're not paired with anybody.
No, I travel alone.
I tried to pair you with somebody.
I know. Well,
who are you going to pair him with, though? I would not want to be the one paired with him because you'd wind up feeling like a sort of second rate.
Don't get that the wrong idea there, because being in his audience is a great thing.
Oh yeah,
so everyone who's listening has to remember to come and be in his audience at 4 p.m.
But I do want, as an employee of the State University, I do want to encourage all listeners in Illinois and Upper Michigan and Minnesota to come to Madison and spend a lot of money.
That's great.
What's these things don't just happen by themselves. There's money and there's cost to this. Yeah, and I know you have some wonderful sponsors.
We do. We have sponsors without whom we couldn't do this. The Pleasant T. Rowland Foundation has supported us since our inception, and we are incredibly grateful. ISMIS is an amazing media sponsor, and they let us communicate about the event and make possible for everyone to find out about it. We have been supported by the Argosy Foundation, which is out of Milwaukee, the EVU Foundation right here in Madison, the charitable arm of the Capital Times. We have wonderful pro bono design support from the incredibly talented team at Distillery Design Studio. And anybody who listens to Larry and hasn't seen our stuff this year really should look at WisconsinBookFestival.org, because the festival look is cross-stitch. And it's sort of subversive cross-stitch. And I've gotten some emails from some crafters who have really appreciated what this is looking like and wanting the needlepoint pattern and stuff, which I don't have. So,
Mike and Seneca, your turn. Thanks, Mike, for calling. Hello.
Yes, Larry, I have a quick one here. Ask your guests if they know of any mini-seminars going around, whether it's a full-blown book or short stories, as far as people know how to write, but they to kind of get it together with the publisher, should they publish it themselves?
Yeah,
The pages, the setting a book up, and this sort of thing.
We have a couple of events that will address some of that. We don't have anything specifically on formatting and book design this year, but there's a couple of events, one of which I mentioned a little bit earlier. It's down at the Harambe Center in the South Madison Neighborhood Center, and that one is on Saturday at 2 p.m. There's also a series of events being produced by the Wisconsin Center for the Book, and those take place at Memorial Library that same day, starting around 1 p.m. and going on till 7 in the evening. And they've got a thing at 5 p.m. called Free Expert Help with Your Book Ideas. And that's by two authors who have written a handbook guiding, first-time writers. And I think you'd be able to get some great advice there at both of those places.
Mm-hmm. What was that date, please?
That is Saturday, October 13th. And the location for the free expert help is at Memorial Library on the UW-Madison campus.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call.
Thanks.
Mike, and just once again, the dates for the Madison portion of this are, give us that again.
October 10th, a week from yesterday, through Sunday, October 14th. So
the best place to go is probably to the website.
The website has all the information, and our website is provided for us by another wonderful supporter, IMS, a media company here in Madison, and they've created this wonderful scheduling tool that allows you, the user of the website, to sort by events that are of interest to you, events on what day you'll be here. If you're only going to be here Saturday, you can pull up Saturday. If you only want events on a certain topic, you can sort that way. So it's
very cool.
It's very cool.
And that's, again, the website address is
WisconsinBookFestival.org.
WisconsinBookFestival, all one word, .org.
Mm-hmm.
Allison, thank you so much. Jim, thank you so much.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you, Larry.
It's been a lot of fun to visit with you, and I know we're going to have a great turn. We've had huge crowds in the past
year. Yes, we have. We started with 8,000 in the first year, and last year was our fifth anniversary, and we had headcounts of 15,000.
Yeah, so then we're hoping more this year. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Allison Jones-Hyam is director of the 2007 Wisconsin Book Festival running through the Sunday, October 14th. Jim Boffman, professor and director of the School of Journalism and Mass Communication, one of the presenters. He'll be presenting the 13th at 4 o'clock, as a matter of fact. He's the author of Same Time, Same Station, Creating American TV, 1948 to 1961. Really fun to have them with us, and thank you for listening. Coming up, lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.